The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Worst case scenario. If there's no NFL season, if there's no college football season, how do you order the 2021 NFL draft? If there's no football season, how do teams line up to get Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can always join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, do you trust any institutions? At every level of government, at every bureaucratic level, and at every sports league, do you trust the official word? So when Major League Baseball tells you there's nothing to see and nothing to share, when it comes to their investigation into the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox, do you trust them? Do you trust first-round wide receivers? Before we all get excited about Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb, we might want to take a look back on the history of drafting first-round wide receivers and ask ourselves this. How many actually turn into number one wide receivers? But we start with what could be lost. Worst case scenario, if we lose the football season, if we lose the Major League Baseball season, if the NBA doesn't come back, what have we lost? Let me lay down two quick caveats. You know this. Number one, by asking that question, I'm certainly not indulging in wishful thinking, and I'm not LeVar Ball style, speaking something into existence. I believe in hoping for the best and preparing for the worst. I also find it just interesting. What does a fallow period, what does a gap year in the sports world look like? How do we come back and what have we lost? Obviously in this world, we're losing things much more significant than anything we are losing in the sports world. Lives are being lost. Jobs are being lost. Our economy is being lost. It's going to be hard for all of us to come back from this. So by asking these questions, I don't diminish or overlook the gravity of the things that are being lost in the American society today. But I do find it fascinating. What have we lost if the worst case scenario comes true in sports? Throughout the show today, we'll take that worst case presumption. What if Major League Baseball doesn't come back? What if the NBA is canceled? And what if we lose football? And ask ourselves on the granular level, the ripple effects of that, what have we lost? Meaning, what records that were threatening to be broken might now be safe? What athletes whose final farewell might have just been issued a premature goodbye? What teams that might have been tanking for Trevor now have to figure out how you go about that? We'll take a look at all of those various angles throughout the show today. Because while you hope for the best, you prepare for the worst. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The NFL's executive vice president and general counsel was on a conference call today. Jeffrey Pasch was asked whether or not there would be an NFL season, whether or not it would be normal, or whether or not it would be cut short. Here's what he had to say.
All of our discussions, all of our focus has been on a normal, traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through the full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs.
Of course, the NFL is not in a position where they have to make a decision on their regular season yet, but I would suggest they heed the advice that we will today on The Will Cain Show. Continue hoping for the best, but perhaps prepare for the worst, because former NFL defensive back Myron Roll, do you remember Myron Roll? He played for Florida State, skipped his final year and went to Oxford, spent some time with the Tennessee Titans. Do you remember Myron Roll? Related to Samari and Antrell Roll? He's no longer a professional football player. Instead, he's a physician, an incredibly impressive one at that. I first saw him a couple of days ago on Fox News, and today he was making some of the rounds here at ESPN, appearing on SportsCenter. And this man, beyond being impressive, had some perspective on the front lines of whether or not we can expect to have a normal NFL season. Listen.
I think that's rather ambitious. As seeing the numbers, seeing the stats, actually walking in the emergency department and seeing patients being intubated, bronched, families having end-of-life discussions and goals of care discussions, having patients on our neurosurgical service who are either being tested for COVID-19 or been positive, I think it's rather ambitious to think that we can, you know, begin our normal life once again. It's a communal setting to be an athlete, for sure, sharing a locker room, you know, sharing buses, hotels, you know, meeting rooms. And so that might just be a nidus for infection that won't be helpful and beneficial in this fight. So I think right now we just need to sort of take a step back, pause, put the health of our country and the health of our younger people and our older people as well at the focus and as a premium, and we can get through it. I'm optimistic that we can.
From defensive back to frontline caregiver, like so many others out there who are fighting this battle for us in our hospitals, with our sick patients, our essential workers who are going about making our lives as normal as possible, that go often overlooked, picking up our garbage, ensuring that our water is on. Myron Roll is one of the people we need to appreciate among many others today. And I suggest if you see him, listen, because he's incredibly impressive. But there he is saying, prepare for the worst. So what have we lost if we lose sports? What happens if the worst comes true? Let's start with the long goodbye. Who is appearing in their final stretch of a storied career? Who is perhaps playing in their final season? You could look right in front of you in the NFL with the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees. Drew Brees just signed a 2-year deal with the Saints to extend his career beyond the age of 41. He's playing in his 19th season in the NFL. But there are many that have speculated this could be his final season. And his head coach, Sean Payton, was on Get Up yesterday. And that speculation turned into the belief that it was confirmation. This is Drew Brees' final year. At least that's what it sounded like, according to his head coach, Sean Payton. Listen.
He'll play that F position. He'll certainly be involved in the kicking game. It's one of the things that he takes pride in and is very good at. And then the unique situation with our team and with our quarterback, Drew Brees, is he's announced he's coming back for his final season. I think Taysom sees himself as being a starting quarterback in this league, and we do too.
You hear that? His final season. And then turning the conversation to Taysom Hill. Today, Sean Payton was on a teleconference and he called himself a big dummy. He said, I don't know that it's Drew's final season. I know that he took a long time to deliberate whether or not he was going to come back this year. So I guess my perception was that it might be coming to an end. And that is probably accurate, whether or not it's 1 or 2 years. Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and perhaps Ben Roethlisberger and perhaps Tom Brady are coming to their swan song. They're coming to the end. And if the worst case scenario comes true, if we do not have football this season and expand it beyond football, because we can find similar veterans in baseball and we can find similar veterans in the NBA, what we lose if we lose sports this year, what we lose if the worst case scenario comes true, is we lose that final opportunity to say goodbye. We lose that last season. And for some, like Brees, I think, and definitely like Brady, and perhaps Rivers, and maybe even Roethlisberger, one last chance to win a championship. Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a project that nobody thinks is a big curtain call. I think every one of us think this has a chance to work. Tom finally has weapons. He has a coach he's excited to play with. He has an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. But I think we'd all agree that likelihood, that opportunity is greater this year than it is next year. It's greater in 2020 than it is in 2021, the second year of his contract. So if we lose football, if we lose sports, if we lose our final chance of the goodbye, we might also be losing their final chance to win a championship. That's one ripple effect if the worst case scenario comes to. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. But I think that's just the beginning. The point isn't to be pessimistic, and it's not to be depressing. It's to look forward and say, what would happen if this happens? And one of the most fascinating things I find is, what happens if we don't have football? How do you approach the NFL draft? You can't just give the Cincinnati Bengals the number one pick overall two seasons in a row, can you? So how would teams line up to draft a once-in-a-generation quarterback in Trevor Lawrence? What would we do? A lottery? A bidding process? How would we conduct the NFL draft if we didn't have football? That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
This is Will Cain.
What's up, Eric?
Usually I don't agree with you, but you're making great points today.
How are you finding yourself disagreeing with me 99% of the time?
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just how you are.
Worst case scenario, we don't have a football season. Then how do you pick up where you left off? How do you have a 2021 NFL draft? How do you establish the draft order? Who gets Trevor Lawrence? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. A few moments ago, I was praising physician and former NFL player and famous Florida State defensive back Myron Roll about the role he has played in television explaining the risk of coronavirus out there. I talked about essential workers. I think that's one of the things that really comes to light through this entire pandemic. Jobs, people. But I think we've taken for granted. All of a sudden we understand what the word essential means. Because while most of us are at home, there are some of us that simply cannot. And they're the ones that essentially keep the world running. And sure, the trash gets taken out, picked up. Ensure that the lights are on and the water is running. Ensure that our life has some sense of normalcy. There's a lot of praise, and we should be handing it out to those on the front lines, our healthcare workers, but I think we can also save some for those that go about doing their jobs just like they did before this, that we appreciate them, we value them. And while those jobs may, in many instances, not pay as much as other jobs that are clearly non-essential, at least outside of finances, what we know is you are extremely valuable to society. I appreciate you. I think we all appreciate you. I don't do this to wish it into existence. I certainly don't do it because I'm trying to be pessimistic. But if the worst case scenario comes true and we don't have sports, I'm talking Major League Baseball, NBA, and football, how do we deal with a gap year? Let me give you one obvious scenario, one obvious problem. If there's no football, college and pro, we pick up next offseason and we have an NFL draft. There'll be a whole batch of players ready and eligible to enter the pros. And we'll have teams ready to draft them. But how do we establish a draft order if we don't have a standings? How do we establish a draft order if we don't play a season? Layer on top of that, that next year, we have what many have termed a generational quarterback. I'm talking about the kind of quarterback that you tank for, that you wait for, the kind of quarterback that comes along once every Andrew Luck, once every Peyton Manning, once every John Elway. Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback of Clemson, is about as close as you can get to a can't-miss prospect. And there will be teams trying to figure out how do we get to the number one overall pick. But how do they do that if we don't even have a standings? First, let's just deal with the situation if we do have football. I think the past year has put or thrown some cold water on the idea of tanking for a player. Tanking for Tua was something that was assumed of the Miami Dolphins. And even if they weren't putting their best foot forward as far as roster construction last year, they ended up winning enough to only secure the fifth pick in the NFL draft. They may still get Tua at five because nobody saw the rise of Joe Burrow. But what it shows is you can't count on tanking your way up to number one. Still, Bleacher Report put together an article of teams best positioned to tank. In other words, teams that are bad and might be in the running for Trevor Lawrence. And those two teams, two most primed to be bad, according to Bleacher Report, were the Washington Redskins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those teams might naturally lose their way into position if we have a football season to draft Tua. The other path to get Tua is accumulate draft capital. Of course, we don't know yet what 2021's draft capital distribution will be because the 2020 draft and who trades away their first round picks will dictate that. But we do know this already. The Miami Dolphins have the Houston Texans first round pick next year, so they have two first round picks, giving them the ability to trade up. Now, on the show today, of course, is our Supreme Leader Nuno. Bubba's on the board, and Mike A's riding shotgun. Mike A, you did not put much credence in the idea that draft capital be a way to get to Trevor Lawrence, because if he truly is once in a generation, who'd be trading away that number one overall pick, correct?
Yeah, so basically, when if you're taking it, like, there's no NFL season, so everything is as we know it now, Lawrence's stock is never going to be higher. So if that's the case, you're not giving him up for anything. It would have to be some ridiculous, like, six first-round picks for me to give that up.
I don't think you're correct. Here's why. Ask yourself this. How many teams would be in on Trevor Lawrence? Now, wait. Let me change that question because I think the better way to ask it is, how many teams would be out on Trevor Lawrence? A little bit later in the Will Cain Show, we'll answer that question. We'll put a list together. Who would not be interested in this once-in-a-generation quarterback? But I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you one team that we can say, I think with some level of certainty, would not be in on Trevor Lawrence. And that would be the Cincinnati Bengals, who have the number one overall pick this year, and it's presumed they will take Joe Burrow. A team that has just taken a quarterback number one overall, and by the way, under this presumption, hasn't even had the ability to play a season yet to find out if their pick was a bust, isn't going to go back to the well. I don't think they'll pull an Arizona Cardinals because they have no reason to have a doubt in Joe Burrow. So then, that pick would be up for sale. And some team could trade into the number one overall pick if it were the Cincinnati Bengals that ended up with it. You see that scenario? That's why draft capital begins to matter. That's why I told you this earlier today. Let's play the scenario out. Let's say there's no football this year. Do you know what I'm doing if I'm a GM? Do you know what I'm all of a sudden more interested in? I'm more interested in the idea of trading away my first round pick this year. What's the point if I'm sitting around at, oh, well, the New York Jets at the 11th pick in taking a receiver or a tackle this year if we're probably not going to play? And if we do play, it's going to be a truncated season. I'd rather roll that forward. I get another year of contract and a full season if I trade into next year's draft. I get perhaps more ammunition to jump up and get a quarterback who comes along once in a generation. If we're playing worst case scenario, and we are, I would be very open to dealing my first round pick this year because I'm not going to get a full season out of him, and I get a little extra ammo for the special prize, which comes out next year. See that, Mike A?
Yeah, I mean, you got a point there, but I think that when you look at a team like the Jets, and that's the team we're using here, they're not one piece away. So you get as much as you can when you can, and if it's going to be a seller's market, that's what you got to do.
Well, you don't have to use your ammo to trade up next year. You could end up with two first-round picks next year, and you'll still get two players. And my point is you'll get a full season instead of a truncated or perhaps no season from that first-round pick. You lose really no development time. I just would roll my business forward. I'd roll my picks forward.
Let me just throw one more thing at you, though. In that scenario, you also have one less season of college players being developed. So now you're drafting a far less product next year.
That's true. You do take on some risk of knowing a little less about the guys that come out next year. One less year of evidence. One less year of development. Still, I'd roll my business forward. But that doesn't answer our question, which is if we are playing in a worst case scenario, how do you order the NFL draft? We can't just give it to the Cincinnati Bengals, the top overall pick, once again. So what do you do? Do you have an auction? Like we talked about last week on the Will Cain Show, fantasy football draft style. Do you auction off the players? I doubt it. Do you, as one of our longtime listeners just suggested to me on social media, take the last 25 years of one-loss records, average it out, and that's who gets number one overall pick? That's how you order the first round? I don't know how you do it. And that's the point. Worst case scenario, we've never dealt with a gap year. We've never dealt with how you do this. I know you can't just say same draft order as this year, but I don't really know what your answer should be on how to do it. Give me a call, 888-729-3776. Let's figure it out together. Next, one of our buddies, Jeff Darlington, jumps in. We'll run that prospect by him. Coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. The
dude is getting paid. Hold on a second. In the NFL.
I feel like there was a memo sent out from above. Interrupt Will, quickly.
Continue.
Well, now you made me lose my point. See? There you go.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. No, this is a terrible debate.
More from Will Cain coming up.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Now let's bring in our buddy, ESPN NFL insider, Jeff Darlington. What's up, Darlington?
Oh, man. You know, same thing as you guys. Just kind of figuring this thing out, right?
You sound very upbeat. You sound very happy.
I mean, I'm not sure what tone to take these days, you know? But we're all together. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old at home, so. This is once again therapeutic for me to just step out for a moment. It's great.
Stoicism is the tone that we should try to adopt. Just survive. The highs, the lows,
yeah.
Just move on to the next step.
Exactly.
You just heard me there during the Sports Center update read that Jadeveon Clowney has dropped his asking price. It feels like free agency has died, man. Like there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Have teams sort of rolled up the welcome mats and stopped doing business?
A little bit. Yeah, and not so much because they're not willing to operate, but mostly because they can't. I mean, when you look at the big names, you know, I keep talking about it every live shot I do, whether I'm SportsCenter or NFL Live or Get Up, you know, we're interested in Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Jadeveon Clowney. But like all those guys come with, you know, those are first wave free agency guys that all of a sudden come with these questions. They're the kind of guys that you want to bring into your building and meet because you're devoting a lot of money to those players. And you have questions about those players, whether it be health, that you don't want to rely on an independent doctor to perform that physical, whether it be character with Jameis Winston. You're going to invest a lot of money in a guy who you're going to bring in as a backup that could really throw kind of a little bit of a wrench into your locker room in terms of he's a polarizing force. He's got that Tim Tebow effect. Players will gravitate toward him. Are you willing to bring him in and let that player come in and challenge that job without knowing him that well? So I think that we sometimes underestimate that this is not just an on-field evaluate guys through tape kind of business, but trying to put the 53 best guys to create chemistry in your locker room. And you can't do that if you can't meet with these guys. So I just think that these restrictions really are creating problems for players like Newton, for Jameis, and ultimately for Clowney as well.
I think that's interesting how you characterized it. Those are first wave free agents, but ones that come with question marks, and they missed the first wave. They might have even missed the second wave, so they're waiting for conditions to be right to catch a ride.
That's what's funny. I don't even know, you know, the second wave of free agency did kind of happen. It's kind of like those second tier players who are going to get not quite top dollar, but you know, you're depth players. But it's almost like we're going to have another wave of free agency, much smaller, obviously, because there's not a ton of names out there. But whenever these restrictions get lifted, and I think that I don't know when that will happen. But you've got to at least hope for the sake of those players that it happens before let's say training camp opens.
Wow. That means Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Jadeveon Clowney, maybe Everson Griffin waiting till after the NFL draft, where you would assume more jobs would dry up on into the summer when society at large, you would hope, loosens up. Jeff Darlington here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jeff, one of the things we were talking about today is let's play out the scenarios of the worst case scenario. What are the ripple effects? What happens if we truly lose the entirety of the Major League Baseball season, or if the NBA doesn't come back,
yeah,
or that we don't have football. And the first ripple effect I explored was we're losing essentially the opportunity for the final year, the swan song, the goodbye for veterans who are approaching the end of their career. They may have mm-hmm. just unexpectedly arrived at the end of their career. I'll give you names I'm talking about. Philip yeah. Rivers. How long will he be with the Colts? Was it a one-year proposition? Because that 1 year now is in jeopardy. Drew Brees. Sean Payton suggested yesterday he was in his final year. He's since retracted that. But still, it's out there, and I don't think it was completely made up. This could have been Drew Brees' final season. And then, of course, you've been all over Brady. And Brady signed uh-huh. a two-year deal with the Buccaneers. And I assume Brady has full intentions of being there for 2 years. But at yeah. 43, you know, this might be his last best chance this coming season.
Right.
So I see a lot of guys here who might have just had their coordinated final year, that nice little goodbye, all of a sudden lost.
Well, and I think the question in that regard, and I know we're going down a wormhole here. I guess we don't even have to throw that disclaimer out, obviously, because we're not suggesting this NFL season won't happen. But if you are going down that road, the question then becomes, does a team like the Colts, did they kind of settle on Rivers because it was the best option this year? And will it continue to be the best option next year? Certainly a question worth asking. The only thing I'd say for some of these guys, sometimes when you remove the rigors of an NFL season, you're also extending the shelf life of their career as well. So, you know, when you talk to guys who were out of the league for whatever reason, I'm trying to think of an example, like a Richie Incognito who was like out because he was suspended. He ultimately feels like, you know, he kind of got his legs back and probably like lengthened his career by having that time off because the NFL is so hard. So I guess you could kind of still look at it both ways. But the bigger question to me is not whether they are capable of continuing to do it. The question becomes whether the team finds a better option in the meantime.
I will give you another example. Maybe better than Richie Incognito. How about Michael Jordan? Many point out that the 2 years or the year break, whatever yeah. it was, I'm forgetting all of a sudden if it was a year or two, that he came back with an increased competitive fire to get those final three championships. That's actually something yeah. we want to talk about later on the show, is how do different guys respond to a gap year. Some, you're right, will find motivation, competitiveness, and recovery. Others, yeah. I suspect, Jeff, will lose motivation. They'll reorder their priorities.
No, that's very, very true. I mean, I think that happens for anybody who takes time away. You start to rethink what exactly you're looking for, and maybe especially something like this create different perspectives. But, man, those are serious.
Well, let's have a little more fun with this worst-case scenario, because I want to ask you something okay. we've been speculating on, and that's how would you do the NFL draft if you didn't have an NFL season? I'll ask you about that. Plus, the Dolphins, who are they exactly targeting here in this year's NFL draft? We're going to keep Jeff Darlington over for another segment. I'll ask those things.
A more upbeat segment coming up, Will. A more upbeat uh-huh. segment coming. A more upbeat segment. We're going to be optimists. We're going to have fun.
Why don't you come in with a little more energy?
I mean, you're the problem here, Jeff,
yeah,
not us.
Let's go. I know. I don't know how to act. I'm confused.
Do the opposite. How about that for a start?
More upbeat Jeff Darlington, a more upbeat segment next on the Will Cain Show.
This is Will Cain.
If you want a show that only tells you what you already believe, this is not the show for you. If you want a show to reinforce what you think you know, this is not the show for you.
More from Will Cain coming up.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
You got something to say to Will? Call the Will Cain Show now, 888-SAY-ESPN.
Zach from Las Vegas, you're not even going to let me have my wins, huh, Zach?
Will Cain, huge man. I am unsure how the executives at ESPN let someone who is so unequivocally wrong all of the time host their own show on the air to feed lies to the American people about what is right and what is wrong when it comes to anything related to sports. In my opinion, I think you're a raging alcoholic and that you make really misinformed opinions.
Tell me more.
You clearly have a drinking problem.
not even going to cut you off. I'm like, tell me more. What else? Tell me more of my problems.
I think that you might be addicted to opioids as well. Your eyes are pretty pinned on a regular basis.
Are the Dolphins all in on Tua Tagovailoa? Or might Joe Burrow be the apple of their eye? It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Still hanging out with our buddy, ESPN NFL insider Jeff Darlington. Jeff, I think it's been over a year. Everybody's thought Tua is who the Dolphins are targeting. I don't want to call them reports, but there's been at least some growing rumors over the last couple of days that the Dolphins are actually interested in Joe Burrow, and they'd like to make a play to trade up. Is there any truth to the Dolphins interested in Burrow?
Well, first of all, Will, I really thought I had a nice talk with myself during the break, coming in with more enthusiasm. It's not my job to be depressed over this. I'm here to talk about sports.
Well, you sound like it. You sound like you've really turned a corner here.
All right. So here's the deal on Joe Burrow. Like, I do totally get why we're all kind of fascinated with the possibility that the Dolphins could move to number one. They love Joe Burrow. Like, I know they love Joe Burrow. Like, but the difference is, like, are you going to be, like, the crazy girlfriend who's going to do anything it takes to get Joe Burrow? Or are you going to be the socially distant, intrigued party on the other side of things, kind of saying, like, hey, you know, like, we love him, but we understand he's probably not going to wind up with us? That is where I think the Dolphins are at this point. They've got three first-round picks. Can they move to number one? It would take a ton. And one person I was talking to within the organization basically said, like, we're not going to do anything. He doesn't expect them to do anything unprecedented or outrageous. Those are the words that were used to me to go get Burrow. With that being said, like, I just don't think the Bengals are willing to accept anything other than something outrageous or unprecedented. So, like, it's fun to think about, and yes, the Dolphins would love for it to happen, but ultimately I just don't think it does.
Do they have a similar level of infatuation or love for Tua that they do Joe Burrow?
So, yes, I sense that they definitely do really like Tua. I wonder how this whole medical thing is going to really impact their willingness to go up and get him. Like, that would be my big question. You really have to feel confident without having your own doctors going in there and finding out where Tua is at, which the Dolphins can't do between now and the draft, to like move up to go to number three. So, like, they definitely like Tua. They're definitely intrigued by him. I think that Tua and Burrow are clearly the guys, the apple of the Dolphins' eyes in this draft. I just don't know with Tua's health. Like, if he's at five, yeah, you go take him, right? I think the Dolphins would be crazy not to take a gamble there. But are you willing to give up all the draft capital that you've kind of raised over the past year to go up and get him? That, to me, is a different question.
And the presumption would be you'd have to trade up to number three.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, the Chargers, then, you presume, might do that. Do you get that feeling? Are the Chargers in love with Tua?
So that was my sense, that the Chargers were into Tua when they cut Phillip Rivers, because I kept hearing that Anthony Lynn wants this escapability, he wants this mobility in his quarterback, that's always what he sought in his offense. Then when they went after Tom Brady, it was like, okay, but that's Brady. You kind of get the allure there, even though it's not at all like a Tua. But the fact that they haven't gone after Cam Newton to the degree that I thought they would have at this point, even with some of Cam's health questions, tells me that if I'm the Dolphins, I just can't buy into the fact that the Chargers actually believe that Tyrod Taylor, albeit, you know, a nice solid player, is the answer. Like, I do not buy that for one second. So if it's not Cam Newton, in my opinion, like, yeah, it does feel like the Chargers would be prone to try to make a move to get ahead of the Dolphins to get Tua.
If Tua is who the Chargers love over, say, a guy like Justin Herbert. Jeff Darlington here.
Yeah,
go ahead. No?
I think that we are, at that point, when we start to go like that far, I just think that we're understating Tua's ability. It's like we've almost been talking about him for too long, that we need to remember that this guy is an exceptional talent. And I think that I personally will be surprised if come draft day we're still talking about Herbert in the same breath that we're talking about Tua.
Jeff Darlington here on the Will Cain Show. Here's a little bit of news for you. On a conference call, Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, just said that Tyrod Taylor's in the driver's seat for starting quarterback. He would not say how interested the Chargers were in Tom Brady, but wished Brady luck in his new challenge in Tampa. And when asked if the Chargers were interested in Cam Newton, Lynn said Newton was a good quarterback and avoided answering about the team's interest. When he was pressed, Lynn said, "We're looking at everybody."
Yeah, and there you go. They're looking at it. I mean, that sounds like exactly what you expect to hear out of someone in a position to eventually upgrade the position. Like, yeah, you say that he's in the driver's seat. Yes, by the way, they were all in on Tom Brady. All in on Tom Brady. In fact, I would go so far as to say is the Chargers lost out on Tom Brady to the Bucs. And so taking all that into account, like I just continue to think, based on what you hear from Anthony Lynn, that just says exactly what I was kind of saying, that I just think that at some point, whether it be Tua or whether it be when the restrictions come off the NFL, it be Cam Newton, I just at some point think that it'll be one of those two guys on this roster by whenever the season starts.
Okay, I want to ask you this one thing before we go, and that is we've speculated what would happen if we lost football, Jeff. How would you go about ordering the NFL draft next year? I know you don't have the answer to that, but what do you think? Like, what's an idea?
I think you would just repeat it.
No, the Bengals just get number one again?
Oh, my gosh. That's a crazy hypothetical.
Right. Like, lottery, like NBA?
But let me ask you this. If a player doesn't play a season, if he gets drafted, say Joe Burrow gets drafted, and he says that I'm not going to play for the Bengals, he sits out and re-enters the draft the following year, right?
Yeah, that's how that normally works, right?
So wouldn't the pool of players next year be just doubled?
I didn't think about that. I need to double check that rule. That's really interesting. Because it would allow the players freedom too. Yes.
That would be nuts. Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. Who'd you pick then?
I think it would be Lawrence. I gotta run. I'm up against this. Jeff Darlington here on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.